Well, this morning, I want to share a message with you that I pray will encourage your soul. So whether you're here in person or listening online, my prayer is that God's Holy Spirit would speak to your spirit today, regardless of where you are in life right at this moment. So let's get right into it, shall we? I want to steer your attention to Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 6. And it says this, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, early Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went down, went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow, and the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay." Now, sounds like an interlude to an Easter Sunday morning service. And we'll probably read that again at Easter time, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. But there's something within these verses that I believe has the power to resonate and encourage your soul today, and especially on this chilly October morning. And in fact, really what I want to preach on is really, in fact, only three words. And these three words are found in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 28. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now, I know what you're thinking. Pastor, there is better and more exciting things to preach on in this verse, like a violent earthquake or an angel of the Lord or rolling back the stone. But seriously, you're going to go with sat on it? I believe the angel's posture on the stone is more majestic than some earthquake or the angel's supernatural descent from heaven, and the action, and is bigger than the action of rolling away the stone that sealed the tomb of Jesus. And so today's message is titled, Where You Sit Matters. Where you sit matters. So let me ask you a question. How did you pick your seat today? When you came in through the doors of Abundant Life this morning, you walked into the auditorium. What caused you to sit where you're sitting today? Right now, was it muscle memory? Well, you've sat in the same place every Sunday. Did you strategically pick your spot? Did you purposely sit beside a friend? When you sat down, did you put your Bible on one side and the jacket on the other side so that you could maintain your personal bubble space and your buffer zone? Or maybe you like being close to the action like you would at some concert or sporting event, but you avoid the very front row because you've heard that it's known as the splash zone, and when the pastor really gets fired up. And I've been teased that we should actually hand out goggles and maybe some shields for the front zone sitters and that. But myself personally, I'm 6'4" in height, and I'm self-conscious and self-aware of people around me, that I usually sit to the edge of the aisle or to the edge so that people can see around me. And for the sake of this message, I want to say that it's important to be strategic when it comes to sitting. Going through the process, right, the thought process, and thinking it through carefully, because where you sit does really matter. And I'm not talking about in the physical realm. I'm talking more about where your soul sits, because where your soul sits matters. What is your soul? Well, your soul is your mind, and it's your will, and it's your emotions. When it comes to sitting, there's a couple of things that you can be, or that we can be mindful of: the reason why we sat down and the place where we sit or choose to sit. Did you know that the posture of sitting is actually found throughout the Bible? It's found throughout. And it's really interesting when you start to dissect and analyze the posture of sitting in different situations. And in each different context, like Jesus sat down, or God is seated on his throne, or Jonah sat under, the significance may not be the person sitting as much as it is where the person chose to sat or how they sat. Where a person sits matters. It's something, it means something, it's symbolic. Well, let me just show you, for instance, in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 3 and 4. It says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. He didn't just sit down physically. His soul sat there, his mind, his will, and his emotions, there under the broom bush. What is a broom bush? Well, I'm glad you asked. A broom bush is also known as a juniper tree. Before I go on, I want to explain a little bit about the Bible. The Bible is so full of these little symbolic details and nuances that it can easily be missed if we're not paying close attention to when we're reading. And these little details can give us a deeper understanding to the significance of what's really being told, the story or the significance of it. So you see, this broom bush or juniper tree was indigenous to the area. Here are three interesting facts about broom bushes that maybe you didn't know. They grow in dry places, they produce a bitter root, and their twigs are used for binding. So think about this for a moment. Elijah not only physically sat, but spiritually sat his soul down in a dry desert place beneath a tree with bitter roots that has twigs known for binding things. Do you know where I kind of go on with this? Elijah was emotionally tanking, and spiritually he was feeling low and dry. And it's evident in the way he prayed, God, I can't take it anymore. I've had it. Please just spare me from the agony and rid me of my pathetic existence. Have you ever been there? How about those listening online? Have you ever found yourself in a dry desert place sitting beneath a bitter root that stirs up depressed or morbid thoughts in you, and it feels like you're suffocating and being held captive with no way out? Where you sit matters. Where you sit matters. Elijah ran to a place that he shouldn't have gone to, and to a source in which he shouldn't have partaken of, and as a result became bound by it. Where you sit, your soul does matter. So far, we've looked at an angel of the Lord sitting down and the prophet Elijah sitting down. Now I want to point out a little detail that I believe is significant in each. Now listen to this. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, he, Elijah, came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. Now look at the angel in Matthew chapter 28, verse 2. He rolled back the stone and sat on it. You see the difference? One sat under it while the other sat on it. The one who sat under it was depressed and suicidal, but the one who sat on it was not. When doing a word study on the word on, in the original Greek language that it was written in, I found that on, in this particular context, means above, beyond, more than. Think about that for a moment. The angel sat on it. He didn't stand over it. He didn't lean up against it, and he didn't completely destroy it. He sat on it, and I believe there's something here to be grasped, that sitting on it has some significant meaning to it, that the angel sat on the very thing that the devil tried to use to defeat Jesus. The stone was like the devil's statement that he won, that he was victorious, that Jesus was not who he claimed to be, so that just as the stone was a statement, so was the angel sitting on it a statement. A statement that not today, Satan. Not today, Satan. So let me ask you, what has the enemy tried to roll up in front of you? What obstacles are you up against? What issue are you facing right now? What keeps you up at night? What difficult situation are you experiencing? What is it that the devil has got on you? You can either let it steamroll over you, or you can get above it, rise beyond it, and be more than it by sitting your soul on top of it. What was meant to bring defeat can become your seat. We have a choice. We have a choice. So how do we do this? How do we do this? There's no better example in all the Bible to follow than Jesus. And if you're here today and you're not already following Jesus, well, I just want to tell you that maybe today could be your day. See, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says this: fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the cross. See, now, let's just stop there for a moment. Jesus was fully man and fully God. Though he was fully God, he was still fully man, which means this: he felt pain. He felt sorrow. He felt every emotion and every human experience that every human being on this earth faces. He didn't want to go to the cross. He actually despised the cross. In humanity, his humanity was exposed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Three different times he pleaded with God to remove the suffering that it was about to come, that he was about to face. But he found resolve in submitting to a plan that was way beyond him, and that was evident in the way he prayed. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 42, it says this: may your will be done. That's what Jesus said. He said, may your will be done. Jesus endured the cross for all humanity at a place called Golgotha. And the battle that was won at Golgotha was a direct result of the choice he had made in Gethsemane. Instead of sitting under it, Jesus chose to sit on it. What was meant to bring him defeat would now become his seat. Hebrews 12, verse 2, we'll finish this off: fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Now listen to this: scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Because Jesus chose to sit on it instead of under it, he is now seated at the right hand of God. There's no higher place, there's no greater seat than to be at the right hand of God. And God made his name, the name of Jesus, so great that no other name in heaven or on earth is actually equal to it. None other name, no other name. All because Jesus could see above and beyond and the joy that would come after enduring the cross. And he wants us to do the same by fixing our eyes on him, the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. What was meant to be to bring defeat can become our seat. And this is how we do it. When we're exhausted, overwhelmed, frustrated, feeling dry and empty, choose to sit on it rather than under it. Because Jesus overcame the grave, we have the power to choose. Am I going to sit under it, or am I choosing to sit on it? Whatever the situation, whatever the doctor's report, regardless of your financial situation, regardless of the choices your children or your grandchildren make, no matter how you're feeling right now in this moment, no matter what obstacles stand in your way, no matter what the devil throws at you, you have the power to choose to sit on it or under it. Because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And more, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. For if God is for us, who can be against us? Not even death itself can separate us from God. And because of Jesus, we can do all things with his power and his might, especially when our own strength runs out. And what was meant to bring defeat can become our seat because of where Jesus sits. Because of where Jesus sits. Listen, we're almost done. Bear with me a little bit more. I want to talk briefly about your brain. Is that all right? Just talk about your brain here for a moment. Now, I've heard that our brain is separated into three different compartments. And some may even say that we've got three brains. Now, that's crazy because sometimes I just have difficulty operating one, never mind three. All right? But here's how the three are separated. Number one, the survival brain. It's like this built-in automated system that just operates on its own that doesn't involve a whole lot of thought. For instance, when was the last time you thought of taking a breath? Not a lot of thinking goes on into that, does that? Your brain automatically controls all that. So if you're breathing this morning, congratulations, your survival brain is working. The next one, the logical brain. Well, this one's a little bit more tricky. This one's a bit of a different story. The logical brain is where our executive skills kick in. Apparently, these don't really kick in till our mid-20s. I'd like to coin this also as the adulting brain. And for those who have kids or grandkids that are teenagers, I want you to just take a deep breath. There's still hope. The emotional brain. The emotional brain. Now, this is part of your brain where that decides where your emotions will take a seat. Interesting fun fact is that in 1954, they called this part of the brain the seat of emotions. And this part of the brain is constantly being activated. This part of the brain decides whether you react to a situation aggressively or respond to it gently. And it's this part of the brain where our choices are made at the seat of emotions. Now the question is, who or what are we allowing to sit in this seat? Does fear sit in the seat? Well, if fear is sitting in that seat, I want to just remind you of 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, God's love, drives out fear. Well, maybe worry is sitting in that seat. Well, let me remind you in Matthew 6:33-34. But seek first the kingdom, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Well, maybe anxiety is sitting in this seat. Well, Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Who or what is sitting in your seat of emotions? So when you fear, or when fear or worry or anxiety or depression or negative thoughts or hopelessness or insecurities or anger or frustration try to sit themselves down on the seat of your emotions, speak to them and say, sorry, this seat is taken. It's been reserved for my Savior Jesus who saved me. Fear, you can't sit here. Worry, you can't sit here. Anxiety, you can't sit here. Depression, get out of that seat. It's not yours. I'm saving this seat for my of my emotions for the one who sits on high, Jesus my Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Take every thought captive. Take it captive. Concluding this morning, be mindful of where your soul sits. Are you sitting on it or are you sitting under it? Be aware of who or what is sitting in your emotional seat. When fear comes creeping down the aisle, sorry, the seat is reserved for peace. When anxiety or depression or insecurity comes down your row, sorry, this seat is saved for joy. When your enemy, the devil, comes with discouragement and frustration and hopelessness and tries to sit down, sorry, this seat is saved for the one who saved me, Jesus, my Lord. The last thing I want to leave you with is this. And this is the best news of all, and somebody here maybe needs it. Whether it's somebody here this morning physically in this auditorium or somebody who's going to be listening to this online, there's a seat that's been saved for you. There's a seat that's been saved for you. All you have to do is sit in it. The seat came at a high cost. was one of those expensive box seats. It came at a cost. See, it cost God his one and only beloved son. It cost Jesus his life. And all of this was done so that we could have a seat. See, there's nothing we could do that would ever be good enough to earn the seat. And there's no way that anything we could do would ever make us deserve the seat. Our sin and our shame and our mistakes disqualifies us from any attempt on our own to be worthy of claiming the seat on our own. But because of Jesus and what he did for us, he has reserved a seat for us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, it says, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only because only by God's grace that you have been saved." Verse 6, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." God has a seat that's reserved for you. He's got a seat that was reserved for you. All you have to do is sit in it. How? By talking to God and asking for the greatest gift you'll ever receive, and that's Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Asking Jesus to sit in the driver's seat of your life, not in the passenger seat, in the driver's seat, so that he can guide you and lead you. If you're wanting to do that today because you're tired of fear, worry, and anxiety, hopelessness, negativity, insecurity, depression, and frustration taking over the seat of emotions in your life, I would love to lead you in that first conversation so that you can say to all that negativity, "Sorry, this seat has been reserved for Jesus." Here's how that conversation goes. Now, you can either speak it aloud or whisper it quietly, but I ask that everybody in this moment that you bow your heads, and this, if you've prayed this prayer already and you want to just say it just so that those around you don't feel like they're saying it alone, you can do that, or you can just speak it quietly. But this, if you're wanting to put Jesus in the driver's seat of your life today, this is how that first conversation goes. And it can sound many different ways. It could just simply be, "Jesus, I need you." Right? But here's a prayer. "Dear Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner, and I ask you for forgiveness. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins so that I could receive your forgiveness and have eternal life. I ask you to come and sit in the driver's seat of my life right now. I confess to you, I confess you to be my Lord and Savior from this day on. Help me to live for you. In your name I pray. Amen." Now, if you prayed that prayer today, and that was the first time you ever prayed that prayer, or maybe today you're just making a new dedication to the Lord of saying, "Listen, God, I've allowed other things to sit in the seat of my life, and it's time that you take that prime seat again." If you're new with us and you'd like to know more about Jesus, and today you made a commitment of making Jesus your Lord, I wanted you to seal the deal today by making it real and telling somebody about the decision you made. Tell somebody about the decision that you made. Make it real. Make it real. Tell the person that you're sitting beside, or tell the person that you came with. If somebody's listening online and you're driving down the street, tell that guy that's holding the sign in the middle of the boulevard right now, tell him that you just received Jesus, but make sure you give him maybe a loony or two so he can buy a coffee. But tell somebody, make it real. And then I encourage you to attend. If you're here this morning, I encourage you to attend our Alpha Home Group this Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. If you're listening online, you can go to alphacanada.org to find an alpha near you. See, I think it's important right now, and before you go too long in this new decision, to learn more about Jesus and find out more about him. If you've never, if maybe you've been a Christian all your life, but you've never gone through an alpha program, this would be something that would reaffirm what you believe. I'm going to ask the communion or the worship team to come forward right now, and they're going to lead us in a time of communion as we prepare our hearts today for the Lord's table. As they're preparing, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message. I pray that it would inspire somebody today to live differently. Lord, that we would make the choice to sit on it and not under it. That God, today, that there would be victory. That was that which was meant to defeat us would now become the seat for us. So we thank you for that power that you've given us through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' holy name, amen.